Reading is another, is the one that's going to look familiar, a little bit like Groundhog's Day, because I read it last week. It is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to be looking at the second portion of it, which is the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. This is Matthew 6, 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thus far, God's word. Now, in my, I'm going to pray here in just a moment, but I'm going to pray a specific prayer. Very rarely does this happen, but it has happened given the events of this past week. But the stated clerk's office of our denomination, and the stated clerk of our denomination is sort of the central office. It's sort of, it's down in Atlanta, Georgia area. On occasion, and not very often, they will ask all PCA churches to pray something specific to show unity as a denomination on events. And from the stated clerk's office, I received this message. It is requesting from the Ministry of State, the director, to invite all PCA churches to join in a united prayer for our nation this Sunday, January 10th. And they offer up a suggested prayer, but I'm going to pray that prayer. For this is for our nation, as well as for our time in the Word. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the events of this past week and have given us much pause and have given us much concern. And we pray for your mercy and grace upon our nation. Lord, if we have not shown proper respect to others, forgive us if at times that we have been angry or arrogant, willfully blind, whatever it might be, Lord, we pray that you would humble us as your people at this time, remembering the fact that as we follow Christ, we are to be one of kindness, of compassion, of love. Lord, we pray that your authority would be evident in these days. We pray that there would be courage in your church to stand up for what is true and for what is right. We also want to pray, Lord, and we ask for forgiveness at times because we don't pray enough for the civil magistrates and folks that give care and guidance and governance in our land. Lord, we pray that they would humble themselves well before you, they would recognize you, and Lord, help us to pray for them as they try to serve in these very difficult times. Finally, we pray, Lord, that you would teach us as a church not to put our trust in princes, but to trust in you, that you are our refuge and our strength. You are our very help. You are very you are present, and Lord, you guide us and love us as the great and good shepherd. Lord, as we have seen in these events, we know that at times nations will rage, but we can take refuge in you and you alone. May you be our source of strength and shield in this present hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was in university, I was one particular semester, I arrived early on campus, so did a few friends of mine. And it was sort of the night before classes, you know, you don't have anything to do. We were just kind of hanging out. And we decided to watch the recent movie. I'm dating myself, I know. This was now 20 years ago or so, or no, 30 years ago. The Kevin Costner film, Dances with Wolves. We decided to watch it together, a bunch of guys. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Dances with Wolves. It was focused on the Lakota tribe. It was sort of a Western. Much of the film was in the language of the Lakota people. And one of the things we were struck by as we were watching the movie was how the names of individuals, Lakota, captured their personalities, who they were. And so sort of as a fun sort of activity after watching the movie, we decided that we would come up names for one another in a similar fashion. So for example, one friend, we called him Head in the Clouds because he was over 6 foot tall, very tall, the tallest of our group. Another one was Walks with a Smoke because he enjoyed a cigar and liked to take walks around campus. Another was Wind in His Boots. I'll let you figure out what that one is. I'm not going to explain that one. And of course, you're probably all wondering, what was mine? Well, it was talks with a squeak. At that time, my voice really hadn't changed. I continued to crack at times, even particularly when I would get excited. Wasn't the coolest of the names, I have to admit, but it did capture my personality and who I was. Names are a funny thing. And actually, in the Bible, they often depict something as well. They make reference to the person, their personality, and their circumstances. There is usually meaning with our names. Take my surname, for example, Wakefield. It's an English surname. It's from the Midland regions of England, near Leeds and Bradford, just east of Manchester. I've often wondered, what does Wakefield mean? I've heard one explanation, but it doesn't seem very plausible. Maybe have you ever thought about your surname or even your first name? We don't tend to think much about the origins, but often they do and reflect the person. Names are extremely important in the scriptures. And often, sometimes it is explained to us why this person is called in this circumstances. They're not random, important. Names are an identity, and they tell us about the person, their character, what they are and what they do. I know there's a, for example, there used to be, I don't know if this children's program is on, maybe kids, you can tell me if this, is Dora the Explorer still a kid's show? Can you still watch that on television? Or am I again dating myself? Okay, is it a show? Okay, I don't know. I used to watch that with my kids. That's why I'm saying, I don't know if it's still around and they're, you know, this tall now and bigger. I remember how on that show, the names of the characters would reflect their personality or their activity. My favorite character was Swiper the Fox, okay? He had this little sort of mask on, and he would try to take things, and then as kids, you would just say, Swiper, no swiping. You'd have to say that 3 times, and then he'd go, oh, man, and then he'd run off. Frankly, I don't think he earned the title Swiper because he didn't swipe very often, and all you had to do was say, Swiper, don't swipe, and he didn't swipe. Doesn't seem to be living up to his personality. The point I'm trying to make, though, is that in his name is his activity. And what we're going to see here is something in what we look at in this first petition. There is something in the name of God. It is, God has a name. It's important. It's referenced here in this first petition. In Ezekiel, I've been studying and doing that for my own personal devotions. I was struck that over and over again in Ezekiel in chapter 20 and then further in 36, God says that why he does what he does was for the sake of my name. It's for a reason. This is, of course, in his words in Ezekiel were about his activity of his history with Exodus. But there is something about the name of God that is represented about his character and activity that I think we'll see in the first petition. This first petition is, hallowed be your name. That's what we're going to just simply deal with this morning. I know that doesn't sound like many words there, but this petition is one that which we should reflect upon and just take a few moments this morning to consider. The first word in that petition, hallowed, is not a word we use very often. In fact, as a Greek word in the New Testament, it doesn't appear very often as well. It appears as a noun and as a verb. And John Stott in his commentary simply defines it as such. It is to treat something as holy. Hallowed means treat as holy. Consider it holy, sacred, set apart. It's not something that is common. It is something special. Now, this isn't very difficult for us to understand. We see this in many aspects of our life. Even in our own households, we have things that are of common use and those that we sort of hold with a special value or consider sacred, and we treat them differently. We do that when we give people titles. Now, as Americans, we're not really big into titles, but in places like in Britain or in Europe, titles are a thing. Just recently, Lewis Hamilton, a Formula One racing champion, he's now 7-time world champion, quite, was just given the honor bestowed upon him by the Queen of England, as now he is to be called Sir Lewis Hamilton. It is distinguishing him. It's showing that he is above the rest of society, that he is to be called Sir. It's a recognition of a special status. Well, that is what is kind of that is what is being communicated here. Hallowed be thy name. The name of God is something special. It is something to be honored, something to be exalted. It is a name above all other names, one to be respectful of. It should be honored, not to be said in casual ways. The very name of God is to be hallowed. Now, let me break that down as to what that means, thy name. First, we know, by the way, it's not speaking about just one name of God. We know that in Scripture, God is often goes by different names. Whether it's Yahweh, or he's called Father, or Lord, Jehovah, Creator. Of course, Christ himself and the Holy Spirit, all names that are associated with God. There's more names I could say. But to clarify here, it isn't, this petition is not looking at one particular name. I think this is just saying that when we use the name of God in our language, we ought to say it with reverence and with honor. But secondly, the name of God represents something. Let me explain. I've mentioned this, I think it was a couple weeks ago. I've been watching this British show called The Repair Shop. I've been watching it on Saturday nights. I probably need to stop doing that because then I'm going to keep bringing it up as a reference on Sunday morning. So I should write. But this is just too good to pass up. A couple weeks ago, they were refurbishing a Louis Vuitton trunk. And they were trying to make sure it was something that was built, they think, by Louis Vuitton himself in Paris. If you don't know what Louis Vuitton is, he's a famous French maker, designer. Things of his are very well coveted. There's usually a logo put on his materials. It's still sold today. These are high-end stores, places that I can't afford to shop at. And you know it's made by Louis Vuitton because there's an LV on it. And on this trunk, even though it was made years ago, all over it, you could see the LV logo. Even on the little pins that were holding the leather to the wood frame, you would see just etched in there an LV. And the restorer was being very meticulous, quite careful to make sure that she did not harm any of those places, any of those pins, anywhere where his name was. She didn't want to destroy it because what made the trunk valuable was the name associated that was all over it, that was imprinted. Everywhere you looked at it from whatever angle, you'd see LV, LV. In some way. The fact is that in our world, God's name also appears everywhere. Even if people do not recognize his work, his activity, he has stamped over all of his name all over creation in the world in which we live. Sometimes we take time to see it, sometimes we don't. And that's the sentiment captured in the Westminster Standards. I'm going to be referencing the Westminster Standards because they talk a lot about the Lord's Prayer and the larger catechism. And that's what they're trying to get after when they talk about in this petition that we highly esteem him, his titles, attributes, ordinances, words, works, and whatever so he pleased to make himself known by. The idea here is that we would see and understand the activity of God. John Stott puts it this way. The name of God stands for the person who bears it, and for his character and his activity. Just like it would be wrong to look at that trunk and not attribute it to the person who created it, it is equally wrong that we do not acknowledge God's activity in our world because his name is associated with it. And that's the point of the latter part of that same quote in the Westminster Catechism. Atheism, ignorance, idolatry, profaneness, whatever is dishonoring to him and by his overruling providence, direct and dispose of all things to his own glory. The problem with atheism in these things is that they take God out of the equation. They act like God doesn't exist. He has not done anything. He's not active. He's not made his creation. And when we act like that or think like that or behave like that, we are violating this first petition. John Smed, I think, puts it in his book in a way that I think is even more helpful and maybe easier to understand. We are to be jealous for his name, to be honored, and his fame to be spread throughout the world. And we should grieve when people misuse or dishonor his name or fail to even give him thanks. This past week, prior to even the events of this past midweek, I had a chance on Monday to talk to a ministry colleague, Chris. We haven't spoken for over 20 years. We both started out in ministry in the same place in Battle Creek, Michigan, in different congregations, and our kids were of the same age, and it was fun that we ministered together, even for a short time, in the same city. The difference between our ministries at the time in Battle Creek was that he knew what he was doing, and I didn't. And I'm not being facetious in any way. I started my position on September 1st, 1994, and I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Everyone welcomed me on the staff of the church and said, congratulations, you'll do a great job. We're rooting for you. And I remember them closing the office door, and I had no idea what I was supposed to do with my activities. But Chris had been a seasoned one. He was of the same age, but he, along with others, kind of took me along and helped me figure out my roles and responsibilities. And it was actually a group of 10 other men, all in the same city, doing the same thing, working with students, that I began to take my first steps into church ministry. And still from that, those early days, there are lessons that I experienced that I still use to this day. The fact is, I've actually began to realize, even only more recently, that those early days was part of God's plan for me. His fingerprints were on my life and in my ministry. He knew the right place for me to begin and to understand what it means to be ministering in the church and how to serve. He placed me there to learn, to be amongst other individuals that would help me in a variety of experiences, and it was transformative. God ordained and provided that foundation. It's absolutely wrong or sinful if I were to never acknowledge or even to take credit that it was my idea or my initiative to make all of that happen or to put it together. To say that, no, it was my cleverness that reached out to Chris or those 10 individuals and to come up and to learn all those things and to make it all about what I sought or was able to see or learn from. Hallowed be thy name is a mindset where we live every day in respectful honor of the name of God and what it stands for in his activity. It is a perspective that holds high the view of Scripture and his word, and that we should honor everything that we have been blessed and encouraged, or the activity, should honor and respect the very name of God. This whole series is about prayer. It's about teaching us how to pray. So as two things I want you to consider as I close. Hallowed be thy name. First, that we need to remember always in our activities, in our lives, that we are to honor God when we have the opportunity to do so, when we pray. We don't just go on and on about what we want from him, but we actually take time in our prayers to hallowed be thy name. Our prayers should be a recognition of thanks of what God has been doing in our lives, both past and present. We should do that. Our prayers should not be just filled with repentance and asking for this, 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 and this. But worship and thanks need to be included in our prayers, an acknowledgement of God and his name and activity. I think often we make our prayers too much about ourselves in that person's life or in the life of his followers. Maybe it would be beneficial for us as we pray that we take considerable more time in this hallowed be thy name to gain a right perspective in all things and honor him as we pray. And secondly, I think that we can learn from this petition to give God the glory in your life and share that with others as we might have opportunity. Don't take credit for things that you don't need to take credit for, and don't hide it from others. Our tradition's not very big on this, but one of the things I've liked in other church traditions is that sometimes, maybe in an evening service or a midweek activity, they'd have a time of testimony, a time when church members might get up to and come up to a mic and share about what God has been doing in their life. Some, you know, what maybe God has answered a prayer in some way or has been working in the life of a friend or a family member. sometimes it can be a painful experience. I've sat in some of these testimony times, and you've been a little bit cringeworthy at times, a little bit. But often, more than not, though, it is sweet and wonderful to hear how God is working in the midst of God's people, in the midst of his congregation. It's actually edifying to do that, to take the opportunity to share. God has been working in this way. He's been answering this prayer. Testimonies are only but one way we can do this, to convey this. But we often should take advantage of the opportunities that we have around those around us to share that God is at work. You know, often I realize that when I start talking about social media in a sermon, usually it's going to berate social media and talk about how bad it is. I realize that's probably a bent on my mindset and whatnot. But it also could be an opportunity at times, not just there, but also in other places, as we might be sitting on our front porches or at our workplace or talking with friends in a living room, is to share more often how God is at work in our circumstances. Do not neglect that activity, folks. Tell people about how God is working in your lives. It's important. Over 20 years ago, I realized that there was a moment where I needed to capture, to share with someone about how God has been working in their life. 20 years ago, Nikki was born, our youngest. And I've shared this probably on some occasions, but her birth was quite dramatic, quite difficult. And there were a number of things around her birth that just had God's fingerprints all over it, things that just couldn't be ignored. And I remember in the moment and at the time, I better write this down. Because it's, you know, as time goes past, you begin to forget about those things. You don't remember all the details and things of how things came together, how God was actively working, calling people to pray, working in the doctors and the nurses at the time of Nikki's birth. So I wrote it down. And on Nikki's 18th birthday, I shared with her that piece of paper, just to let her know about how God brought her into this world. To let her know the things where God's fingerprints and activity were there very much making that at the very beginning of her life, God gets the glory and she can see how God was working. That's just one small deliberate attempt to do that. But folks, we need to do that. There's a million ways to do that. Just ask, how can you make it more evident to those around you? Hallowed be thy name is about bringing honor to the name of God and his activity. I started by talking about Ezekiel, and I talked about that all through the book of Ezekiel, through chapters 20 and 36 and other places, God, speaking through Ezekiel, says, I did this for the sake of my name. He did the things he did so that his name would be revered and would be honored, would be acknowledged, that the whole world would know who parted the Red Sea, who removed leaders, who cared and took care of his people. God is not an egomaniac. He's not insecure. He's not needing us to give him praise. I think sometimes people like to come to those conclusions and attitudes, but that's actually contrary to the first petition. No, what our mindset, this petition is saying this, just like a painter who might sign a painting, or a writer might cite sources in his work, or a designer like Louis Vuitton putting his initials all over his creations. So God deserves the honor and deserves the glory and the acknowledgement for what he's doing in your life and in those around you. We as his followers need to every day make that clear in our own hearts, who is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Lord God Almighty, whom we put our hope and trust. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would all learn better what it means to follow this first petition, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we can confess at times. I know I can confess. I want to take credit for things or say that this is, you know, I was the one that came up with this idea or that or so forth and so on, and not give you the credit, not give you the honor in those circumstances. Maybe sometimes I can be too casual. Lord, I don't know what it is for those who are gathered both here in person as well as online, but Lord, help us as your people to be more and more acknowledgement that you are active and that you are at work, that we would hallowed be thy name, that we would honor your name, we would show respect. We would go and demonstrate that and do that in a careful and glorifying way. And I pray, Lord, that we would more often than not take the opportunities in our prayers to acknowledge your work, both past and present, that you might be glorified in our own life and in those whom you give us opportunity to bear witness of you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. At this time in our